If you want to hear from someone who has more than 18 years of corporate retail buying experience and who knows what buyers are looking for when they are shopping on Faire, you are in luck. Because today's guest on Proof Your Product is Kristen Fisher of Boku. Kristen owns a gifting brand. She's also a retail strategy mentor for brands and independent retailers, and she's the host of the Buyer Side Chat podcast. In this episode, Kristen and I talk about the essentials of optimizing your Faire shop, including how to avoid common mistakes that other brands are making, how to maintain strong buyer relationships, and how to stay ahead of your competitors with effective pricing. Today's episode is brought to you by our Paper Camp program. Paper Camp is our wholesale coaching program where we teach you everything you need to know to build strong wholesale foundations. Over the course of 4 weeks, we tackle your product line, your sales tools, your marketing plan, and we even talk about how to exhibit at trade shows if that's what you want to do. We start first with that product line, and we go into everything from how often you should be releasing new product to making sure that your numbers are sustainable for the wholesale market and their price for profit. Then we move into sales tools that you must have for selling wholesale so that you make a strong first impression with buyers, like catalogs and your terms and conditions. Then we talk about marketing strategies and ways to reach various store owners. We talk about the difference between independent shops and big box accounts. Each week's teachings build on the previous week, and we host weekly live engaging coaching calls to answer all of your questions. So you get really specific tailored support during this program. We will open enrollment for the 44th round of Paper Camp soon, and we do sell this program out every time we run it. So head to prooftoproduct.com/papercamp to join the waitlist. You'll get early access to enroll when you're on that waitlist. We have been running this program since 2011, and our alumni's products are carried in shops big and small all around the world. We would love to help you do the same. So join the waitlist at prooftoproduct.com/papercamp. I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. Since 2011, I've coached thousands of brands whose products can be found on the shelves of indie shops and big box stores all around the world. If you are a creative entrepreneur that makes and sells physical goods, you're in the right place. Here on Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies for product development, sales, marketing, and more. It's like your weekly dose of business school, and we're going to help you confidently grow your revenue in your own way and at your own pace. So let's get started. Hey, Kristen, welcome to Proof to Product.
Hi, Katie. I'm so excited. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Tell us a little bit about your business, who you serve. I know you have two businesses, so talk about each of your brands and let us know what you do.
Okay, well, where do I start? So my name is Kristen Fisher. We'll start there. I have over 18 years of experience as a buyer. So 15 of those years were spent working in corporate retail. I've worked for brands like Urban Outfitters and Land's End and American Eagle. So kind of a broad spectrum of demographics, really storied background on the corporate buying side. And in addition, I have my own gift box brand, Boku. So I launched that about 6 years ago when I was just feeling a little bit depleted and uninspired in the corporate buying world. And I was like, you know, instead of like taking up pottery or something, let me just start a whole full-fledged business. So that is where Boku came about. Similar to you, I think, with the stationery background where you were, I believe, engaged and doing your own invitations for your wedding. I had recently gotten married and was receiving a bunch of gifts. And this is kind of before the big gift box boom. There were a few key players that were doing it really well. They're still doing it well to this day. And I wasn't receiving any of those gift boxes. I was receiving things that were like really well-intentioned, but showed up to my door looking like a tumbleweed, you know, in the wind and just like not the presentation that I know the person who sent it intended. And so that's really where the gift box started. I was originally thinking, should I do a wedding industry gift box? And thank God I did not go that route because I would be like hating my life to this, to this day doing bridesmaids gift boxes. No shade. It's just for me personally. Right. However, I started this gift box kind of out of a personal need, which is I think where a lot of us start our businesses, either taking our craft to become a business or just seeing a need out there. So that's really where Boku was born. So I was doing that simultaneously while doing the corporate buying thing. And let's talk about 2020. We all know what happened there, but what was happening was retail flipped upside down and the corporate world, I could just talk your ear off about what was going on behind the scenes with big retail during that time, just obviously with the changes in how we were buying, but also just process, getting out of inventory. It was just a complete nightmare.
Yeah.
While simultaneously, my gift box business was exploding. And I knew it was because of the pandemic and the way people were interacting and engaging and connecting with other people, not being in person. And so I decided to really hone in on the custom gifting side and doing corporate orders or for small business owners, like service providers, agencies that wanted to gift their clients or their employees. That's kind of what I focused in on and had massive success. So I was suddenly crying at my desk during the day with the corporate nightmare.
Oh, no.
And literally crying sometimes or a lot of times. And then at night, I was trying to just keep my head above water with Boku. Yeah. And at the end of that year, my husband and I were feeling that pull, like I think so many of us were, where we felt at the time we were living in Boston and our family is all from Pennsylvania. So we were like really feeling that reach or that pull to come back home and be closer to family. And so in the new year, I was like, I know that I'm riding this pandemic wave, but I know that I now have some things that I can like really latch onto for scaling. And so I left corporate, big scary moment, left corporate, went full in on Boku. And once I did that, I then started realizing all the brands that I had been kind of just connected with on social. I realized when I actually like had a moment to breathe and come up out of the depths that I was really lit up about having these conversations in my DMs, which I had been having for years. And also just the brands that I'd work with in corporate to bring them into if I found a brand at a trade show or wherever I was finding a brand, I was so lit up by helping them. And so I really spent that year in 2021 just starting to put a foundation down and just start talking to brands in a more strategic way to help them actually see an impact. And so that was kind of where this mentorship side of the business was born. So it was that transition when I was going full in on the entrepreneur life. And so without talking your ear off, that is when I really started doing one-on-one coaching to just figure out what brands were looking for. And I think I told you this a little bit ago. I originally thought that I was going to full on help only retail shops, with that buyer side, how to be a buyer, how to really have a profitable assortment, how to, you know, focus in on the needle movers in your business and optimizing and running a profitable inventory plan, all these things. And I found that brands were actually coming to me for that information and also what the hell are buyers looking for?
Yep.
And so now, long-winded way of getting around to this, that is what I help people do. So I have a product scaling intensive, which is my higher level mastermind type group, where we really look at how to scale your product business. So it's a more intimate setting and really just putting profitable plans in place based on what's working in your business, how we can dig deep, how we can streamline, optimize, get things off of your plate, how to set up your team for success so that you're able to focus on those higher level tasks and what is really moving the needle in your business. So that's that piece of it. And then I also help a lot of brands on FAIR and really getting a wholesale strategy in place that is from a buyer's perspective. And so really like what buyers are looking for, how we think, what's happening for a mid-size small buyer versus a corporate buyer. So just kind of the through the buyer lens, how I am able to like bring that perspective. So that's like,
that's awesome.
In a nutshell, a not so nutshell nutshell.
No, no, no. It was so good to hear the background because it's a good reminder to us how our past work experiences can play into what we end up doing in the long run. But ultimately, every step of the way, it's been about what's lit you up, what's excited you, how you can make an impact in the world. And so, you know, you've continued to bring that forward, which I love. So I know that you're known for helping people really optimize their FAIR shops. And so I would love to kind of tap into like, what are some common mistakes that you're seeing businesses make on FAIR? So brands that have listings and pages there, what are they doing wrong?
Yeah. It's so funny. I kind of fell into this FAIR thing. It's really funny. So I was I'm not one of the first people to buy from Faire, but I was in that first wave when they first launched. I was launching my business at the same time. And so I remember it was so different back then. It was like the Wild West, and now it's very saturated.
Yep.
But I've been really fortunate to work with the Faire team on the education side to really support brands and retailers on building their businesses, but leveraging Faire. And so I know there's a lot of like different feelings around Faire, but it is an important piece of the wholesale puzzle. And I think one of the biggest mistakes that I continuously see, and I'm sure you could understand this or attest to this from what you've seen for your clients too, is just, it's this feeling of like, I know I should be on Faire. And so I'm going to get on Faire. I'm going to throw my product up there. And then I'm just going to wait. And like, why am I not seeing orders?
Yep.
I put everything on there. My listing's up there. Like, why am I not getting orders? And really, it's not so simple as that. And if you can't take the time to really properly set up your page and get your listings really optimized and set up your imagery and be really thoughtful about how you're presenting your brand on Faire, it's not going to be worth your time. And you should wait until you do have the time to do it. So it's like, I think that that is hands down the biggest thing. So every time I'm working with a brand and they're like, I have everything on here, I don't understand. And then I look at it, I'm like, well, it's kind of a mess, to be honest. It's not how a buyer buys. It's like you put things up there that maybe your D2C customers like on their site, but you really want to think of it like a line sheet and really structure it in a way that is how a buyer's mind thinks when they're landing on your page and they have 5 seconds. They make their decision in 5 seconds if you're the right brand for them. So it's really that quick snapshot that you need to have nailed in. That's the biggest mistake.
I agree with what you're saying. I think there's a lot of folks who are like, I just need to get on Faire. And once I'm on Faire, I'm going to be successful selling wholesale. And the buyers will come, they will find me, and everything will be golden. And that's just not the case. As you said, you know, your shop needs to be set up correctly. You need your price and terms and conditions correct. But also, it's very much, if you have a Faire shop, you still have to do the proactive outreach to get the buyers to find you. So it's not just a set it and forget it type of cruise control sales channel. It's very much something that you need to act on. I would also add, in addition to what you mentioned, I see a lot of folks, you talked about like the collections and the photos and how buyers are looking. I will also say, as somebody that's done a lot of catalog audits and looked at different listings, people's prices just aren't right. Maybe their pricing for wholesale is not even sustainable for them long term. What they're putting for MSRP does not align with traditional, you know, Keystone, or even now things are moved up to 2.2, 2.6, depending on what the markets are. Yep. There's some lack of knowledge there about basics for wholesale.
Yeah,
that really raise a lot of red flags. And I wanted to get your opinion on this from a buyer standpoint. Like, it's obvious when somebody's really new to wholesale or doesn't know the game of wholesale. Would you agree?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think, first of all, just like backing it up, if you are new to wholesale, you should not be starting on Faire.
Right.
That's not the right way to set yourself up for success, because there's this whole foundational piece that needs to happen before you go on there. And actually, something a lot of people don't know, you just raised the roof on the video, which I'm just like, getting your foundation in place before you go on Faire. Because if you don't have, to your point, your pricing right, if you don't know how to ship a wholesale order, that's another big thing. If you don't have your systems in place on the back end, you're just setting yourself up for failure, or also just crickets. And then you're spinning your wheels and you're like, actually, there's a big foundational thing wrong. The other thing I think a lot of brands don't know, newer brands are not on Faire, don't know that your first 30 days is really critical on the Faire platform. In order to be successful in that first 30 days, you need to be bringing buyers to your page. And so that means you need to have relationships outside of the platform before you start. I worked with a client, she was not on Faire. And we spent a few months working together, building up her wholesale accounts and relationships outside the platform first. We got her on Faire. And in that first 30 days, I think she ended up doing like 45 orders in her first 30 days. And that wasn't just, she didn't bring 45 buyers to her page. She maybe brought, I think, like 6 or 7, but the algorithm was like, ooh, okay.
What is this? Yeah.
Yeah. Who is this new girl on the block? Like, let's pay attention to her. So the algorithm boosts you because they see that you're bringing buyers directly to your page, and then you get boosted. And then you get the residual effects of that beyond that first 30 days, because you get different bonuses to extend your success beyond that. And so you really have to have the outside piece, the pricing far beyond fair. If your pricing isn't right, you're never going to have a sustainable business that's profitable and can put food on your table, because you won't have the wiggle room there, particularly in wholesale, where you're already cutting your MSRP in half. So you need to have that foundation right.
Absolutely. Okay. So that was a really great strategy for someone just getting started on fair. Yep. What about established brands that have been on fair for a while and maybe they are seeing a lull in their sales? Is there anything they can do to drum up more visibility on fair, or kind of reignite the algorithm?
Yeah. I mean, I think an obvious thing is get your SEO in place. Make sure you're really optimizing and you're using keywords that are like 30, 60, 90 days out for what your buyers are looking for, so that the algorithm, you know, similar to a Pinterest or a Google, the algorithm has time to recognize that you've refreshed. So the first thing, and we talked about this over on my podcast, is really looking at what's working for you. So your best sellers, optimize the crap out of those with, and not, I'm not saying keyword stuff, I'm saying relook at your product listings and make sure that you've written copy that is through the lens of a buyer. So it has to sell in addition to giving them the information that they really need, so that you're selling them. So you're not there physically at a trade show getting a buyer lit up about your product. So you need to have that resonated on your page. And so the more copy that you have that's relevant to what buyers are looking for, 30, 60, 90 days out, will help you with that algorithm. I also think every couple of seasons, relisting products that maybe you haven't listed before, or also taking another look at your imagery. Sometimes it's like you are a set it and forget it. Even if you've had success, it's like, okay, seasonally, buyers might come back to your page and they want to feel like it's a little bit new. It's just like a consumer. Buyers are consumers that are just looking for ROI. That's really the only difference. Your target consumer is also your target buyer, because they have the same target consumer. And so they're wanting to see some new, fresh things. And so you don't have to necessarily always come out with new product, but how are you refreshing your page the way you would your own website? And the third thing is, what are you doing outside the platform to really connect with your buyers, or even inside the platform, leveraging the DMs and really connecting with those brands? Fair has its own email system, which I don't think is like the only answer, but you can use it as a tool, as part of your strategy, and making sure that you're leveraging all the ways to connect to them. And eventually they'll start responding and come to your page and place another order.
Totally. I have lots of thoughts on fair. I've shared them here on the podcast. I just really want to encourage folks that fair is a tool. So let's use it for the things that it provides benefits for. I don't want too many people worrying about like the algorithm and trying to like game the system, because you've got so many other things in their businesses that they need to work on. But at the same time, if there's easy fixes or things that we can do, or things that we're maybe already doing, like you pointed out, like updating our Shopify website, for example, if we can carry that over to what we're doing on fair, that can make a difference. And so whatever like low lift, low effort things that can make a bigger impact, that was, I really appreciate you sharing those ideas.
Yeah.
Are there features on fair that you feel that brands are underutilizing or that they may not know about?
I think one of the biggest things, honestly, is leveraging the DMs, because that's a direct line to talk directly to the buyers. Now that's a bigger lift. And so it's piggybacking on what you just said. Fair is not your wholesale strategy.
Yeah.
And if you're thinking that way, then now is the time to just pause and think about the bigger picture. It's a piece of the puzzle. And I do think it's an important one with the way, particularly like small to mid-size shops buyers are buying right now. So it's an important piece, but it's just a piece. And within the platform, there are ways to directly connect with particularly your past buyers and sending them a note within the platform. I think that's an underutilized feature that some brands do. And it goes directly into, like, I get a notification on my phone. So like if Katie Hunt, the owner of Proof to Product Candles, messages me on in the fair platform, I see it on my phone in the middle of whatever I'm doing, and you're now top of mind. So I think that that's an underutilized thing. Yeah. Another thing is really how you're using collections and your filters. I know that that sounds simple, but there is, when it comes to the collections, there is such a thing as having too many, because it's too much. A buyer wants to know, what are your best sellers, and actually what your best sellers are, not what you're making up. You want a buyer to buy something and have it sell for them. And that's how you get them to come back, because your repeat purchasers, your repeat buyers are gold. So you want them to come back. So you want that to be a trustworthy collection of bestsellers, true bestsellers, and then a couple of topical things. So I usually say like 3 to 4 max collections.
Okay.
When it is too many collections, it's like going into Home Goods when you're not in the mood and you're just like, what's happening? And then the filters. There's a lot of time. So for me, for Boku, I have very strict rules around the types of brands that I'm sourcing because I need to honor that to my own clients. So it's women owned, minority owned. When there's a give back component, I prioritize that. When there's a sustainability component, I prioritize that. So I automatically filter. When I go into fair, I am filtering to what I want to clear out the noise. There are some times when a brand will pop in and it says women owned, and then I actually look them up and I'm like, they're not actually women owned. Like, oh, no. Why did you put that there? And I'm like, yeah. Ew, that's gross. Maybe it was a mistake. But there's also times whenever I learn about a brand's give back campaign after the fact, and I'm like, well, I could have used that in my marketing, mm-hmm. or it might help you. So really just thinking when you're setting up a product listing or your own page, just are you making sure all your filters are filled out. I know that seems obvious, but it's actually oftentimes missed. So I feel like I should call it out.
No, I'm so glad you did, because I think our brands listening to this episode are juggling so much. And so
totally.
Even if we're pointing out things that may feel obvious, it might jog their memory to, oh, I should go refresh that. I should go do that. I should think about that a little bit differently. So I think it's important.
Anytime we're giving advice, let me just say, I mean, it is impossible to have all the things done perfectly all the time. Yes. I also have a product business. I just found a holiday collection that was still live on my site. I will out myself here on this podcast. Like it happens. And this is more of just like, if you're going to focus on a couple needle movers in your business and fair is a priority for you right now, like don't go listening to this and then chase the shiny object of fair. If it's something that you know is a priority for you, here are some things you can do that are going to move the needle a little bit faster for you than if you're maybe just throwing it up there and continuing to move on with your day.
100%. I'm curious about what are your thoughts on the new advertising platform through Fair?
I don't know how I feel about it. I don't feel great about it. I understand it.
Yeah.
But I think a couple things. As a buyer, I'll just say the art of the discovery is fun for me. And I think a lot of buyers feel that way. Doesn't mean I want to spend a ton of time searching. I'd like the right things to come up. I am worried about how it's going to impact my feed. Mm. And if I'm going to get products that align with what I'm looking for. That's the thing that on the buyer side of it, I'm not so sure yet. If it does align with my algorithm, like I have my fair on the buyer side. Clarifying.
Yeah.
The buyer side, my fair algorithm is spot on because I've been using it since 2017. I go in there and I'm like, oh, look at these brands. I love all these. But I had a client that I'm working with who's a newer shop owner, and she got on fair and she was like, there's so much. She said crap. And I want to preface that. It's not all crap, but there are like some things out there that's just like people now, it's kind of like whenever Etsy blew up and all of a sudden there was all this stuff on Etsy and it's like, oh, Etsy used to be refined and curated and fun. And now it's like a lot of things you have to really search.
Yeah.
Her algorithm is not up to speed. Mine is. So I don't know how these ads are going to impact my interaction with the platform on the buyer side. For brands, I think it's interesting. I think right now, I'm not sure exactly when this will air, but I think it's, you know, still in that beta stage. So they're pushing.
It is still beta for sure.
Yeah. Like I know right now it is, and it's probably going to be for a little bit. I think they're pushing the brands that have access to the beta. And so they're going to see success from it because they want those good testimonials.
Yeah. It's been interesting. So I have a handful of clients that are participating in it.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of control over, like, you buy in and they handle it and you don't get to tweak anything. You don't get to decide which audience, you know, like Facebook.
It's
and
like PMax.
Exactly.
Like and Google PMax right now.
Yes. And so that part feels a little bit wild, wild west of like, okay, wait, I'm going to give you how much money and I don't get any say in who sees this or where it's shown. Mm-hmm. And so the folks that I know who have participated so far, because again, it's in beta, they haven't really seen much traction for them. They haven't seen more sales on the manufacturer's side.
It's interesting. I have 2 people I'm working with right now that have it and are seeing success. So that's interesting. Interesting. Hum, hum, hum.
I'm fascinated by this.
Me too.
Yeah. No, I've talked to at least 4 people who are not seeing their numbers are stagnant, even though they spent money. And they have also a contrast to this is they've also done paid ads on other platforms and they see a lot of success with that. And so I think it left a negative first impression for them because they didn't have as much control. Like they were comparing it to the control they had on other platforms,
right?
To tweak audiences or spend or, you know, that kind of stuff. And so I don't know. I'll be curious to see how it rolls out. And I would love to hear more about this from you as we get further down the beta process and just kind of compare notes.
It'll be interesting. I think like if it can work in a way that serves both brands and buyers, then that's fine. You know, that's great. It's business, right? And if you have the ability to give your brand a boost during a period that you want to boost your sales and get in front of more people, then it's cool to have that opportunity. And I think it's just being really smart about like how you're showing up and thinking about like, I'm not just dumping money into this. I've optimized my page. I have everything is in a good place so that when a buyer lands on your page that they actually can convert. It's just like the same exact thing with social ads or if you're doing PMax and a customer lands on your page, a D2C customer lands on your page, they don't know anything about you. You're not optimized on your site. Like you're not going to necessarily convert. You can't expect to see sales. It's going to apply to this too. So I'm curious. We'll have to keep in touch on
this. Yeah, let's keep in touch on that because I'm curious what you're seeing. And, you know, I mean, I only have a few data points on it too. So I don't want that to
skew the opinion on it. Yeah, it's for new. Sure. And so like with everything new.
We got to wait and see a little bit.
We'll tell. Yeah.
Cool. Well, tell everyone what you're working on or ways they may be able to learn more from you.
Yeah. So what I'm working on the Boku side is I'm working on my late summer, pre-fall collection. Like I said, I do a lot of custom work. So I'm always sourcing product for custom projects. So I'm just kind of always on the hunt for that and working on those things. I've also been pulling back on my e-commerce side just to really like hone in on the things that are working there. So I've made some drops for some big areas of the business that I just kind of like got rid of so that I can focus on the needle movers that are more profitable. So that has been an adjustment for me because I'm letting go of a personal attachment to a piece of the business that's like an OG side of the business. So that's what I'm doing there. And then on the coaching side, I just recently launched the Fair Boot Camp. And so that is an intensive short program that just walks you through all the things that we just talked about through the lens of a buyer, just how to make your page stand out, but also how to have a strategy outside the platform to bring people in. So you have a more holistic strategy around Fair that is not just isolated into Fair itself. So that is kristenfishercoaching.com/fairbootcampwaitlist. If you want to be, you know, in the know for the next round. And also if you just want to learn more about Fair and really how to stand out to buyers, I do have a free secret podcast series called Unlocking Fair that I can give you the link to that too. So that's kristenfishercoaching.com/unlockingfair, I think. I'm pretty sure that's the link.
I'll double check it with you and we'll put it in the show notes. So folks,
I think there might be a dash in there somewhere. So we'll get you the link.
We'll get
that. There's a couple ways to learn about it, but I love working with brands, not just on Fair. So if you are just like, I need some extra support, I'm looking on working on strategy, product strategy, how to be more profitable with my collection, like definitely reach out. And that's the best way to find me is on Instagram at Kristen Fisher Coaching.
Fantastic. Well, Kristen, thank you so much for your time today. And it's just really fun to talk to somebody else that's in this space and working with similar types of brands.
Yes, you too. It's awesome being here. I appreciate you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
What a fun conversation. Thanks to Kristen for joining me today. If you want to learn more about Kristen, her links are in the show notes. I also want to encourage you to go check out her podcast. I am a guest on her show this week. So if you want to hear more of our conversation, head on over to the Buyerside Chat podcast on your favorite podcast app, and you can look for my name, Katie Hunt. Also, if you're looking for help growing wholesale, be sure to join the waitlist for our 44th round of Paper Camp, which is opening for enrollment next month. You can do that at prooftoproduct.com/papercamp. Again, that's prooftoproduct.com/papercamp. We update this paper camp program every time we run it so that you are getting the most current and up-to-date wholesale strategies and support. Also, don't let the name fool you. We work with a wide range of product makers, people selling candles and jewelry, home decor, as well as stationery and paper goods. I'm also going to be sharing some additional analysis and thoughts from the State of the Product Industry Survey in this round of paper camp. So if you have not yet read read that report, you can do so at proof2product.com/2024survey. In this survey, over 900 brands and buyers anonymously shared information about their revenue, take-home pay, business model, team structure, and more. So you can read the full report. It's a lot to take in, so do carve out some time to read it. But that's at proof2product.com/2024survey. All right, that's all I've got for you today. Have a great rest of your week, and I'll be back next week with a new episode.